Welcome back to No Longer Conformed. We're continuing our look at the book of Acts in this session, the arrest of the apostles, part 2. We'll be looking today at verses 27 to 42 of chapter 5. Let's jump in there and let's look at these verses. Verse 26 says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence." Remember connecting the last passage. "For they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them." Here's the indictment. The indictment against the apostles, it had two charges. They violated the previous order not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And then the second part of it, the second charge was they were determined to lay the guilt of the blood of Jesus on them, the religious leaders. So, verse 28. Saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Two charges. "We told you not to do this. We told you not to do it. And you're doing this and you've spread it all across the town and you're trying to bring this man's blood on us." Peter's response to the indictment has been the cry of countless martyrs throughout the history of the church. Look at verse 29. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Let me tell you, it's a dangerous place to be, but it's the best place to be. You know what's interesting? There's no mention. In the indictment, the indictment has two charges. That you violated the previous order, not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, and that you're trying to bring guilt for the blood of Jesus on the religious leaders. But you know there's no mention of the jailbreak. Is it because of embarrassment? I mean, what was the reason why it's not mentioned at all? Listen, Peter was faithful to witness to Jesus Christ. He's done it. It's now coming up again. Being on trial didn't matter to him. He gave no defense. Instead, he tried to win them to the Lord, which is what he did at Pentecost, which is what he did at the temple when the lame man was healed, and this is now what he's doing here. He tries to win them to the Lord. He didn't try to defend, you know, anything. He just took it as an opportunity. Look at verses 30 to 32. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So the Apostle Peter, he did three things. He sought to establish the guilt of the Jewish leaders, which is basically what they accused him of and charged him with. Second, he witnessed to the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus, whom they crucified. But then, the third thing he did was he offered the forgiveness of God for repentance. Were they saved? No, I don't believe so. Look at verse 33. "When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them." They were so angry, they wanted to execute them. It's so typical. Wanting to destroy the source of conviction. And in response, the teacher Gamaliel, who was well respected, he presented a three-part appeal to the leaders. First, he cautioned them to think with cooler heads. Calm down here, calm down. Verses 34 and 35. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men." And then he provided a couple of historical cases in verses 36 and 37. He said, "For some time, Judas rose up, claiming to be someone, somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed." And so he encouraged them to wait instead for the popularity to pass. Look at verses 38, 39. "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." The apostles were very popular among the people. And so the death penalty was a bad idea. Gamaliel recommended they wait for the movement to just kind of run its course. Don't worry. Just let it go. We've seen this before. These people have risen, have raised up, and then over time they just kind of fade away. God will work out his own will. Ironically, Gamaliel's words were already being fulfilled. Signs, wonders, escape from jail. It was obvious whose side God was on. The Jewish leaders were already fighting God, and they didn't even realize it. And so they thought about it, they listened to the advice, and they finally agreed and just gave another strong warning and a beating. Verse 40. "And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak the name of Jesus and let them go." So what was the result with the apostles? Well, verses 41 and 42 clearly tell us. "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They rejoiced at being worthy to suffer for Christ, as well as continuing to teach and preach." Listen, an unwavering commitment to evangelism is necessary if we want to reach our community. You think about that, and you have a great day.